So this message today has come to me in a very different way to my normal sort of process. The past 3 weeks since I spoke the last time have been really quite grueling for me at work. As we get to the end of another school year, I think the workload has intensified beyond what is already pretty unmanageable for me most of the time. So I don't feel as though I've been distracted away from the Lord, but I just have had a lot of things that I've been dealing with and having to, be responsible for. And usually what happens for me is that I'll have a message that's kind of percolating, I say, just sort of bubbling away there on the, in my heart and in my head over, you know, the weeks since the last time I spoke. But this time it really hasn't been like that. Now, I do actually have a running list of titles for messages that I tend to add to as I'm reading and meditating and praying each day. But when it came to actually putting pen to paper, none of them spoke to me as what was supposed to be spoken about today. Which was hard, because I was like, this Saturday and Rob needs the verses and I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. But the one thing that I have had on my heart, and I think it's been since we had our deacons meeting, is that both for me as an individual, because I finished this school year, well, I will have finished it on Thursday, and when I go back to work in September, I've only got two terms, and I get to finish at Christmas, as everybody knows, and I'm very excited about that, but it is a little bit daunting insofar as I do not know how to live my life apart from being a full-time employee. I have done that for 40 years, raised a family in the midst of all of it, and having that taken out of the equation leaves me with lots and lots of time that I'm not entirely sure, you know, how is this time supposed to be used so that I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. So I've got my own questions about, Lord, what do you want me to do? But I also know in our time together as deacons that we spend most of our meetings when we do get together, you know, having a chat about what is the vision for this church? You know, it's sort of like, Lord, we're here. We want to be doing the right thing, but what is it that we are supposed to be doing? What do you want us to do? So that was the one thing that was genuinely on my heart. And as I was doing my devotions yesterday morning, I was reading through Psalm 115, and honestly, the words from verse 3, just like, they just spoke so loud to me. But our God is in heaven, he does whatever he pleases. And it brought an immediate smile to my face, and it was almost one of those laugh out loud moments, because I thought, you're right, Lord, you know, why am I sitting here stressing in my own little finite brain about what's the church going to do? What am I going to do? And he just said, Heidi, I am in heaven and I am going to do whatever I please. So that is the title for this morning's message. He does whatever he pleases. It's so easy to think that our decisions are critical to the fulfillment of God's plan. Not only for our own lives, but for this world, you know, in our commitment to spreading the gospel and hastening his kingdom here on earth. And I do question, how might we look at our lives differently if we truly trusted in the fact that he does whatever he pleases? Now, I can hear little thoughts in people's heads, so before we get the pushback with thoughts of, does that mean that we just sit back and do nothing? You know, does that mean that our choices and our decisions don't matter? If God is going to do what he pleases anyway, how do we actually figure into the plan? Let me confirm that I am not saying that we do not have a role to play. God created the natural world in all its diversity and glory, and then chose to add mankind into that creation to have dominion over it. Just remind ourselves in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28, then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." He clearly wants us here, and he wants us to manage the resources that he has created. But he has prioritized the relationship we have with him and with one another, which is made clear as the story in Genesis continues. And I think the song that we've just sung really nails that. You know, it's about the relationship. We were never expected to do life without him. And really, this is the ultimate tragedy of the fall of man. Satan's lie that we can either live life following our own ideas and plans, or that we should look to things other than God himself for answers and guidance. The Bible is crammed with stories of people who chose to do things their way, according to their good ideas. And even the heroes of faith, as identified in Hebrews 11, all have moments in their lives where they go off in a wrong direction, doing what they thought was a good idea at the time, or behaving impulsively and engaging in behavior which subsequently they saw was not pleasing to God. God will do what he pleases, and he wants to use us and our place here in space and time to fulfill his will. How we go about this will be determined by our relationship with him and our trust in his guidance. Now, this week in my own devotions, I've been reading in Isaiah. So bear with me, but I do really feel that this is quite instructive. So this first part is taken from Isaiah 28, 23 to 29. "Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows and the barley in the appointed place and the spelt in its place? For he instructs him in right judgment, his God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground. Therefore he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cartwheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance." Now in this passage, Isaiah is using a farming parable to illustrate God's wisdom and timing in dealing with his people. Just as a farmer uses specific techniques like plowing, sowing, and threshing at the right time and with the right tools, so God works with his people, employing judgment and discipline to prepare them for blessing. This passage emphasizes that God's actions are purposeful, not random, and that he possesses a perfect plan and wisdom in all he does. I think that we all here today would agree that our heart's desire is to engage with God's perfect plan for both our own lives as Christians and for the life of this small fellowship here at Coningsby Baptist Church. Our struggle is that we often cannot see what our next step should be. So we ponder and worry and try to second-guess ideas that come into our heads as to whether they are from the Lord or just our own good ideas. As the theme of God's will and plan for his people continues, In my Bible, this portion of scripture has a subtitle of the blindness of disobedience. Isaiah 29:9-16. Pause and wonder, blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep. It has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely the seers. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, "Read this, please." And he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, "Read this, please." And he says, "I am not literate." Therefore the Lord said, "Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, 'Who sees us and who knows us?' Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, 'He did not make me'? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'?" Disobedience, as presented in these verses, is centered on an unwillingness to trust in the Lord to lead us and guide us in all that we do. It's almost as though the Lord is saying here, "I am deliberately not allowing you to figure this out for yourselves. And look at you. When you do not understand what you should do, you take it upon yourselves to seek counsel in places other than me, thinking that you are the one in control and not me." The opening of Psalm 115 reminds us in verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth." Moving on to Isaiah chapter 30, God's people are reminded of how simple the solution is, but still they would not do it. Isaiah 30 verse 15, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not." The key to aligning with God's will is to daily return to Him and learn to rest in Him. I always look forward at the end of a long day to crawling into bed and just rest. Just let go of everything that's taxed me throughout the day. From a physiological perspective, we know that the body and brain both recover and replenish during sleep. Sleep deprivation is a real thing and has negative consequences for both your physical and mental health. So too, in our spiritual lives, we must trust the process and allow ourselves to rest in the Lord. Isaiah's words also instruct us to stop striving and overthinking. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now, this is not the same as giving up or becoming resigned to circumstances. This is an active position of faith and trust, while also being in a passive position of submission and obedience to His bigger plan. So, how will we know what that plan is. We continue on in Isaiah chapter 30, and just another note that the subtitle in this for this section in my Bible is God Will Be Gracious. Isaiah 30, verses 18 to 21. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it," whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. If we focus on maintaining a right relationship with God through Jesus, his Son, we can quietly and confidently know that the Lord will direct our steps. We will not be confused or doubting. We will hear the word, "This is the way, walk in it." Until we hear the instruction, we need to be reminded that God will do as he pleases. He has been guiding people since the first people were placed into his creation, and he is not going to stop until he has achieved everything in his great and glorious plan. The only way we will miss our instruction is if we take our eyes off him and look to other things to guide us. I will close with a final word from Isaiah from chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. If we prioritize our relationship with him above all else in our lives, we can quietly and confidently rest in the truth that he will guide our steps as co-workers with him. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these words from your prophet Isaiah, Lord, and we know they were written for a particular time and place, Lord, but as with all things in your scripture, there is value to those of us who are living our lives many hundreds, if not thousands of years after. Lord Jesus, we want to be obedient co-workers with you. We want this church to fulfill your plan and your will in this community. We ask, Lord, that the vision can be made clear to us, that it's not like a book that's bound up and we can't see it, or that we're not approaching it as illiterate people who cannot even read, but Lord, that it will become clear. And we know that we don't have to struggle to make sense of what your plan is. We know that if our eyes are fixed on you, that you will say to us, "This is the way, walk in it." Thank you for your love of us, for your faithfulness, and for the plan that you have that is so far in advance of anything that we can ever comprehend, that we know that we just put our trust in you, and that is the right thing to do. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.